This is Transformation Church Podcast. Here at TC, we represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Now listen, we're starting a brand new series called The Paradox of Purpose. The Paradox of Purpose. Now listen, I've had way too long to think about this sermon series. I'm not going to lie to you. Way too long. Like I was going to do a sermon series last year, and then Corona kind of messed all that up, so it's whatever. But I've been thinking about it too long. And let me just fill you in on something. I've actually never done this before, in the sense of having to preach twice, two times in a row. So this is a new space for me. I like every 6 to 8 weeks I can throw you a good one. But this is, I'm going to be next week and the week after that. So, but it's going to be good. And the Holy Spirit is here. And we got the upgrade. And so it don't even matter what my plan is, because he's going to have his way. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. Turn into Proverbs. If you don't know where that is, you can go ahead and log off. I'm joking. We're so glad that you're here. Proverbs 19:21 is where we're going to be. And this is going to act as our anchor scripture. Now, our word for the year is, help me say it, anchored. It's anchored is our word for the year. And we decided this year that we were not going to drift. We're not going to drift. We're not going to drift from the things that God has called us to do. We're not going to drift from our integrity. We're not going to drift from his instruction. We're not going to just start doing things, but we're going to be sensitive to the voice of God, and we're going to be anchored in his word. And I know for a fact that through this series, we're going to get anchored together. You're going to be anchored in your identity. You're going to be anchored in knowing that you're called. You're going to be anchored in knowing that God did. You were born in that family at this time for a reason. You will know that God has a plan and your purpose for your life. While you were in your mother's womb, he knew you and he called you. Today we are getting anchored. Somebody say, I'm anchored. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm anchored. So I want to read this portion of scripture to you, Proverbs 19:21. And just to impress you, I'm going to say it without looking at my Bible. Many are the plans of a person's heart. Many are the plans of a woman's heart. Many are the plans of a man's heart. Many are the plans of government. Many are the plans of education. Many are the plans of entertainment. Many are the plans of parents trying to raise their kids. Many are the plans of a person's heart. But it's the Lord's purpose. It's the Lord's purpose. It's his intention. It's his original design. It's the way he set things up. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. The title of my sermon today, if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to take notes, because it acts as a fast pass. When you get to heaven, they get you in the short line and you go straight in. You don't have to wait behind all the scrubs that didn't take notes in church. And the title of my sermon today is, what is my purpose? A small question, but a big question. What is my purpose? I'm going to pray real quick. Holy Spirit, have your way. This is your service. You have your way today. And I'm just simply your mouthpiece. Speak to your children and use me today. It's in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Purpose. This is a big word. It's not a long word in the English language, but it has plagued the souls of humanity for years and years and years. What is my purpose? Why was I born? Why was I born into that family? Why into this broken system? Why are these things happening to me? Why was I born? Purpose is one of those things that it plagues humanity from a young age. As a kid, you have all these dreams, you have all these ideas, you have the thoughts of what could be, you have the thoughts of what you'll grow up to be. Maybe you think about art, you think about design, you think about starting a business, you think about playing in sports, you think about all these things. But as you get older, you start to ask, why was I born? Why am I here? There's so many different quotes around purpose and things that have plagued humanity, and philosophers have written about it for years and years and years. One quote from Thomas Carlyle, he said, the person without purpose is like a ship without a rudder. This is the plight of humanity. We are in a space where we are trying to figure out, why am I here? And the thing is, life doesn't stop for you to figure it out. Your family didn't stop for you to figure out why you were born at this time. School didn't stop when you felt like you were falling behind. Your business didn't stop. COVID didn't stop because you didn't know why you started the business. And right when you started it, it got shut down. Life does not stop for us to figure out our purpose. Mark Twain said the two most important days of a person's life are the day you're born and the day you figure out why. So many of us, we're living life, but we're not alive. We're going through it, but there's nothing that gets you out of bed in the morning. You're wandering, figuring out, why am I here? I heard it said that the graveyard is the richest place because it's full of purpose never reached. How many ideas are in the graveyard? Is the cure to cancer in a graveyard somewhere? Is the person who would start a system of economics that would transfer wealth equally across the world, is that idea in the grave right now? Is there someone who was supposed to be the answer to the problem? Is there someone who was supposed to step up, but because they couldn't figure out why they're here and the demons that plagued their thoughts and the things that kept them insecure, there were things that held them back and kept them in this state of wondering, why am I here? What is my purpose? I've asked this question, and no doubt you've asked this question, and humanity has asked this question for years, and we found ourselves asking over and over again, why was I born? There's 7.64 billion people on the planet asking the question of, why am I here? Why was I born? Why now? As I started praying about this topic and researching and going into this, I started just asking God, because it's like, God, I clearly don't have the answer. Like, if I had it, I would have given it to somebody by now, but I don't have the answer. And what I realized is, as I began to pray, there was this 7-word phrase that came into my heart. He said, Charles, it's not as deep as you think. Really? Purpose? We talk about purpose? Like, I feel like Allen Iverson, purpose? Like, purpose isn't as deep. He said, no, it's not as deep as you think. Purpose isn't difficult, but it is different. And I want to help us walk down this path. Purpose, it's not difficult, it's just different. And what I mean by that is, I'll illustrate it this way. Some of you, you live in a part of the country where you drive on the left side of the road. We drive the same cars, you drive on the left side of the road. For me to think about doing that sounds insane. It sounds very difficult, but it's not difficult, it's just different than what I normally do. It's just different to my current pattern. It's just different than the way I was raised. It's just different than how my driving instructor taught me. It's just different. And because the perceived difference, it makes me think that it's difficult. The Holy Spirit says, when you do purpose my way, it's not difficult, but it is different. It's different. It's different than the pattern of this world. It doesn't, your programming doesn't lend yourself to walk in God's purpose. The way you were raised, the way culture is set up, the way society is set up, the way your Instagram is set up, the way business is set up, the way entertainment is set up, it is not set up for you to walk in purpose. And this is the problem that you face. You're trying to figure out why you're born, why you're here, and in the middle of that, you're trying to fight your natural programming and pattern. You're trying to fight. The thing in you that's calling out that says there's more is fighting directly against your everyday routine. It's fighting against you putting on makeup and trying to prove to people that you are somebody. Forget the mask you wore for the last year. You've been wearing one since you were a kid. You've been trying to prove to people that's your pattern. The pattern is you can't wake up and bring the real you. The pattern is in the back of your mind, you thought, if they really knew who I was. Does anybody know the real you? Not the you that you present, but the real you. The one that has those thoughts that if it ever was projected up on a screen anywhere, you would just walk off into the distance and never, like, I'm talking about the real you. Why were we born? What is our purpose? Why do we go through life trying to figure out who we are and seemingly in an endless rat race of figuring this out? Well, the truth is, this is my first point. The pattern of the world always fights the purpose of God. This is a principle that I just need you to understand. The pattern of the world, it always fights the purpose of God. It always does. From the beginning of time, what God set up and how earth naturally, the natural bend, it was fighting against God's purpose. But this is why I love the Bible. This is why the Bible is so good. This is why our church actually, this scripture shapes a piece of who our church is. In Romans 12, 2, it says, don't conform to the pattern. Don't conform to the natural way. Don't conform to how your mom and them did it. Don't conform to how your that successful business owner told you. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the problem with the world's programming. It always pursues potential. I'm about to help you because you thought your potential was so great. You thought it was so good. And from a young age, I'll give it to you. We glorify potential. I remember playing sports and you start playing sports and coaches say stuff to you like, man, you've got so much potential. You share a business idea with your friend. Man, that's crazy. That's got a lot of potential. You start thinking of maybe I'm going to do this and you start thinking, wow, that this has a lot of potential. But the problem is potential is not God's pattern. I know it feels like everything you can do is what you should do, but there's a difference between potential and your purpose. I want to help you today. Potential is everything you could do. Your purpose is things God has graced you to do. And there is a difference. Many of us are living in a space where we're doing all the stuff you could do. You're trying anything you could do. And specifically in the church, we haven't helped this much because we use scriptures like Philippians 4:13 to get people to do anything they want to do. Oh, you've done this before. You walked out trying to win the football game and slapped the sign. Your team was trash. You can't do all things. Your team's not good. You're not going to win the game because you didn't practice. Like, you're using your potential and then copy and pasting God's word, talking about, I can do whatever. I can start a business. I can move to LA. I can start. Everybody got online courses in COVID somehow. I don't know how. That's real. Some of y'all have started a whole online course and you're not good at it. That's why nobody signed up. Anyways, I'm sorry I'm distracted. Your potential. We get caught up with everything that we could do. And I believe this has been the trick of the enemy the whole time. Is for you to reach your potential but miss your purpose. Think about that. You could reach your potential. Think about potential is just all the stuff you have an opportunity to do. And we live in a season and in an age where we are obsessed with opportunity. In the church, we think, if I can do it, I should do it. If we think I can go there, I should go there. But God says, I want to guide you specifically. I have a unique plan, a unique purpose for your life, and it's not going to be everything you could do, but it is the very things that you should do. This tension of potential and purpose is really the paradox I want to talk about today. Now, I know you haven't, like, I want to talk about this word paradox because I know some of you are like, Charles, that's a cool word, but, like, I've never used that in a sentence before in my life. Like, I want to help you. Everybody say paradox. Paradox. Say it again. Say paradox. Paradox. Now, paradox is an interesting word. It's a concept that it doesn't confine itself to really any scenario or situation. And I'll just let me do this. I'll give you a couple definitions, and you'll hopefully grasp along the way. So here's the first definition of paradox. A seemingly absurd or self-contradictory proposition that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. You didn't get it on that one? Let me try it again. The juxtaposition of a set of seemingly contradictory concepts or realities that reveal a hidden truth. Two objects, ideas, or principles that on the surface seem to be impossible opposing, yet both are in fact true. Charles, what are you talking about? Two things, they seem to be fighting, but they're actually friends. They seem like they cannot coexist, but they actually have to if the statement is true. It's not a contradiction. Paradox is not a contradiction. A contradiction would be right now in this moment, you're dead and alive at the same time. That's not true. The paradox of your life is the more you live, the more you die. I'm thinking today, so you got to go with me. The more you live, the more you die. That's the paradox. They're both true at the same time. Life is a paradox.
It's not either or. It's at the same time, life is great and it's the worst season you've ever went through. It's at the same time, you feel more confident, but yet you're insecure. It's at the same time, you got money in the bank, but your heart is bankrupt. It's both and. Paradox does not only confine itself to the English language, but actually, do you know paradox was created? Well, actually, the concept of paradox was created not just by any creator, but by the creator. It doesn't confine itself just to your human experience and your life and the tension of what you're going through. No, in the heavenlies, there is paradox. I know you've never thought about this. Did you know God is a paradox? Why would a perfect God, think about this, a perfect God desire imperfect praise? What? He's justice and mercy. He's holy and still accessible. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. That's who God is. Now, when I say God, I'm not just talking about any God. I'm not just talking about any God, the God you see, the little green Buddha statue. I'm not talking about any God that's in a grave. I'm talking about the only living God. He's not just any God. He's, in fact, a king. And he's not just any king. He's the king. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of ages. He's the king of kingdoms. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that stepped down into human history. I'm trying to tell you who he is. He's the one that sees you right where you are. He is the king of kings. He's the highest concept that anybody could ever fathom. He is the central economic piece of every system ever created. He is the superlative of everything you could ever try to call him. He heals the sick. He cleanses lepers. I'm trying to tell you, he is God. He's God, and he's not subject to your rules. You see, the Pharisees, they didn't really mess with him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Herod couldn't kill him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. He is God. He's the only God who saw you in your hurting and broken state. He mends marriages. He breaks addictions. He sets the captives free. He cancels debts, and he forgives sinners. He is God. I wish somebody was breathing in here, because he's the same God that saw you in your broken state and ripped you out of that part. He's the same God that spoke to Bishop Gary in 1999 and said, reverse the curse. He's the same God that told Pastor Michael Spirit Bank Event Center will be Transformation Church. He's the same God that saw me curled up under my desk last year, ready to commit suicide, and said, not today. He is God. I wish somebody would listen to who my God is. He sets people free, and he's available to you today. He is God. This isn't just any God. We're not talking about the big guy upstairs. We're not talking about that just little funny feeling. We're talking about the same God that in 3 days rescued humanity. He is God. And it's important you understand this, because he is the only God that knows your purpose. It's the only God. Your college professor doesn't know your purpose. Your successful business partner doesn't know why you were created. Let me tell you, your spouse doesn't know your purpose. Your pastor doesn't know your purpose. God is the only one who knows your purpose. And in his efforts to rescue humanity, he made paradox a person in the form of Jesus. Grace and truth. Humanity and divinity in one person. Full of imperfection in his humanity, but completely perfect in his divinity. Jesus is a paradox. And he came on this earth and he lived a sinless and perfect life. Why did he do that? Because he knew that your life would be a paradox. I mean, just think about it. We have bigger houses, but families are getting smaller and smaller and more broken apart. We have more experts than we've ever had before, but somehow still less answers. We have more doctors than we've ever had before, but still we don't have health. We have more knowledge, but less understanding. More information, but less truth. It's a paradox. It is at the same time you're growing and it's great, it's horrible and it's bad. That is life. And somehow we're supposed to find purpose. I know you've never thought about it like this, but this is why you're filled with anxiety. This is it. It's not because you need more money. It's because you don't know why you wake up and try to get the money. It's not because you, it's not the thing. It's what's happening inside of you. And there is this internal fight that I'm believing by the power of the Holy Spirit, there would be peace brought to you today. Psalms 131, David says, I haven't lifted my eyes too high. I haven't concerned myself with things that are so far too great for me. He goes on to say, he says, like a child, I have quieted my soul. That's what I'm praying for you today, a quieted soul. As we think about this paradox and really what life is, I want to really just open the whole can of worms for you today. This is what, if you were saying, Charles, what is the paradox of purpose? What does that mean? The paradox of purpose, write this point down, is sacrificing your potential in order to walk in purpose. That's the tension you're going to have to fight with. Will you sacrifice your potential? Not will you ask God to take it away, because it'd be easier if he just took it away. Like, and when I say potential, I mean all the opportunities. Yeah, that's good. This is the distraction, what you could do and what God has graced you to do. And here's the problem with potential. Potential is all about doing. Potential is all about what you could do, who you could meet, how you could network, how you could get that business idea off the ground, how you could do something. The focus of potential is doing. But I want to come today to really question, is God's goal you doing? Is it? Like, I know we say stuff like, I'm going to do this for God. And that works in church, and you like say it and it's awesome, and your mentor's like, yeah, do everything for God. I don't know who your mentor is, but he sounds a little weird. But is that the goal? I want to look at two portions of scripture today that I really believe are going to help us. And this is Jesus. He's painting a picture, and these stories, they have different names in scripture, but they really feel like the two stories of doing. The first story is the story of the Good Samaritan. You've never looked at this story this way. You've probably never thought about it. This story is, if you don't know the story, it's in Luke chapter 10. And Jesus is talking, and a guy comes up and says, Jesus is talking, and he's like, yo, you should love your neighbor. And because this person was probably petty, they're like, well, technically, who's my neighbor, God? Like, and so Jesus tells this story, and I want to read this story to you. And again, it's the parable of the Good Samaritan, but I really believe it is the parable of someone doing. Look at this. It says, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest. By chance. We know that's not chance, right? That's not. We spent 7 weeks talking about how that's not chance. Like, it wasn't by chance. This was an opportunity for God to use his life. But it says, by chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side. Then a temple assistant walked over to him and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by. Then a despised Samaritan came along. When he saw the man, he felt compassion. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds. He put olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He took the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn. This story is the story of people doing stuff for God. People who are so busy doing that they didn't have time to be with anybody. People so busy doing all God had called them to do. And this is the plight of where we find the church and humanity. So busy doing. But is your purpose doing? This question messed with me this week because I've spent 27 years of my life talking about everything I was going to do for God. I mean, you're ready. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to read my Bible 8 hours a day for God. I'm going to go to Africa for God. I'm going to start this small business for God. I almost said twerk for God, but you can't do that. That's just what came to my head. Somebody's out there thinking that. That's not right. You just out here doing stuff for God. But is purpose doing? Now, here's what messed me up. Jesus tells this whole story of two people who were so busy doing that they couldn't help this man. And then right after that, do you know the exact next verse? It's a story of two ladies, one named Martha and one named Mary. And the context of this scripture, if you're not familiar, is Jesus comes to the house and Martha, being an Enneagram 2, goes into mad helper mode. She goes into mad hosting mode. The part where my wife is like, do you want tea with a little bit of oat milk? I got some berries. I got some chocolate. I got some popcorn. She goes into mad doing. She's hosting. She's getting ready. She's ready for the party. And Mary, she's probably a 4, honestly, because 4s are incredible. Enneagram 4, shout out to all the 4s. But Mary's chilling. Mary's laid back on Jesus. And Martha swings a little bit into her unhealthy 8 and says, Jesus, get Mary right now. Why is she sitting down? Martha was doing stuff for God, though. But I'm asking the same question. It's going to be 50 minutes of questions. Is your purpose doing? I know that's what you've made it to be. You've made it about everything you're going to do, and you're going to pray this amount of time, then you're going to start this, then you're going to travel there and minister, and then you're going to start this company and give 1% of your proceeds to fund the church, which is weird. People do that, but it's like you're doing all this stuff for God, but is purpose doing? Okay, let's go to the garden. Let's go to the Garden of Eden, because they were doing stuff in the garden. You got me on that one. They were naming the animals. But, Stephen, do you think God needed Adam to name the animals? Stephen doesn't think he did. God spent 6 days doing the most doing anybody had ever done. He spoke and everything that has ever existed came into existence. Does God need you to do anything? You think this man who had been alive for 3 hours, God was sitting up in heaven thinking, I'm so tired of doing all of this that I'm going to create an entire species to help me do stuff. You think God created humanity to do stuff? He didn't have any more energy to do stuff, so he needed you to start the church. He needed you to start a business. He needed you to write that blog. He needed you to become an influencer. He needed you to... You think God needs you? Oh my gosh! God doesn't need you! But we make purpose about doing stuff for God. God did not call you. Come here. Because this is about to be good. It's about to help you. If God needed you, if God created, if he stopped everything, if he created the heavens and the earth and the fish and the sea and the ground and separated everything and universes and galaxies, if God created everything and then he thought, I need to create an entire species to help me do stuff on the earth, he would have named you a human doing. But you're not a human doing. You're a human being. Your purpose is not about anything you can do for God. God has never needed you. He doesn't need you right now. And you weren't there. Talk to Job about it. Job's like, God, why is all this going on? He says, brother, where were you at when I spoke the stars? God does not need us to do anything. Here is the beauty of our God. Here is the paradox of our God. He doesn't need you. He just wants to be with you. The garden, the focus of the garden was not doing. He didn't need at. You think God couldn't have come up with giraffe? You think God was like, Adam, I've just run out of names. I was busy working on the Milky Way galaxies, and I just got tired. And so if you could take care of that aardvark over there, I'd really appreciate it. God, but why is your life filled with the anxiety of what you're going to do? Specifically in the church, some of the most anxious people in the world trying to do a bunch of stuff for God. He doesn't need, now here's the, I can hear some of you talking, and they're going to bring an illustration out in just a second. That's why I'm moving this over, and hopefully I remember my sermon because my notes is over there. But here's the thing. God doesn't need us to do, but, where's Cam 5 at? Come here, but come with me real quick. So I'm going to sit in this chair, and I'm going to explain this to you. So God didn't create, let me say it this way. My two-year-old son, Arlo Phoenix Metcalf, I didn't have a kid because I needed him to do stuff for me. Like, the object of our love and my greatest memories with my son are not about what he can do for me. Think, like, Arlo right now, he's in a point where he can, like, go get diapers. Like, that's the greatest thing he can do right now. That's extremely helpful. It's like, Arlo, could you go to get a diaper for your sister? That would be amazing. Super helpful. There's poop everywhere. It's kind of madness. And he's like, absolutely, Dad. I'll go get a diaper. He's like, nice you, Dad. He says, thank you. When you ask him to do something, it's incredible. He's very grateful. But my greatest memories with my son are not him doing stuff for me. Some of y'all, you kind of petty, you did have kids because you needed somebody to do stuff for you. But the greatest moment is not what he does. It's just being with him. It's just simply being in the moment. My greatest memories with my wife are not when she's doing, it's when we're being together. And we get so caught up with doing things, like, and here, this is not a message against doing, and I'm about to help you with this, but this isn't a message against you shouldn't read your Bible or not pray or go to the mission. It's not any of that. I'm just saying we have to take this pressure off of all the things you're going to help God with because he doesn't need our help. He doesn't, his desire is to be. His desire is to simply be with you. And the problem is we've made purpose so much about all the things we're going to do and all the things we're going to go and all this different stuff that we get so caught up with all of the opportunity that we start missing assignment. That's what's happening. You have so much opportunity and you're not assigned to any of it. This is culture right now. Tons of opportunity, little assignment. Tons of opportunity. You could go there. You could do that. But little assignment. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying that God doesn't call us to do stuff. I'm about to help you. Okay, we got an example. And this is the magic of TV. You just realized it. Boom, there's an example. And I'm about to walk up here. So I'm going to help you see the difference of the importance of doing things, but that it's not the only thing. God does want you to do stuff. Now, because some of you are sitting there like, what are you talking about? I already like got a house in Africa and I'm moving there next week. Like, it's going to be great. And you should do that. I want to help you with two words, purpose and calling. Matter of fact, I'm going to grab my Bible. I didn't plan to grab my Bible now, but I'm going to grab it because I'm preaching. You know, you should probably use the Bible. Here is a scripture I'm going to read. Just give me a second here. It's all right. Here's the Bible, Philippians 4:13. This is the scripture that you used to try to win your sixth grade football game and you lost and you like questioned your faith. That's me. All those stories are me. It was me. I was on the Bears and we were trash and it was a whole thing. My dad's here. He's laughing because it's true. Philippians 4:13. I'm going to read it in the Amplified version because this will help you like understand the importance of this scripture. I can do all things. That's the part you know. That's the part that you got tattooed down your ribcage. I can do all things. With the fish tattoo on your inside of your arm. Sorry. Anyways, I can do all things. And then you usually skip this part. This is the Amplified, but you just go straight. I can do all things through him and strengthens me and empowers me. Let me read this version to you. I can do all things which he has called me to do. So it's not just you making up stuff and then finding scriptures to align with it and then doing it. I can do all things which he has called me to do. Then we pick back up in your regular scheduled programming through him who strengthens me and empowers me. Look at this. To fulfill his purpose. So he says there's two things. It's what I've called you to do, and then there's your purpose. And I want to help you with these two things. There's definitions, if you have them, put up on the screen for the people. Your purpose is God's original design and intention. This is purpose. Design and intention. This is purpose. Purpose is design and intention. Calling is designation and function. I'm going to walk you through this. Your purpose is God's original design for you. Your calling is the designation or function he has you serving in. I'm just trying, and I'm going to walk you through this because these two words confuse, get a lot of people running, doing a lot of different things. Purpose, again, God's original design, the way he intended it. He's saying in scripture, many are your plans, but my design, my intention, what I set up, he is sovereign, he is sacred, he is. He said, it's going down how I laid it out, regardless of what you do. It says, that is the original design, but your calling is a designation. What I mean by that, your calling is the thing he will ask you to do and the function and the place you will serve in. And here's the problem. Many people get frustrated with your calling and you won't answer the call, so you never reach purpose. I'm gonna walk you through this sequentially. What happens is God, he will call you. Bring, bring. What up, God? How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing good. Okay, yeah. What do you want me to do? You want me to do what? This is real for me. I'm on the phone with God, and I'm talking to him, and he's like, how old was I? 22, I think. I'm on the phone with God, and he says, all right, here's your calling. Remember, designation. I want you to start Eden. If you've never heard of Eden, well, too bad. You missed out. Eden was a church that me and my wife started. And it was pretty great. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty dope. We had some really great momentum. Instagram was popping, and it was pretty awesome. I'm in a season where I'm serving at a church, and I feel God call me. Here's language that we use as believers. I'm trying to help you. God calls me to start a church. He calls me to step into this season. So I step into this season. But what happens is, again, we've made purpose doing. So you start doing a bunch for God. But here's the thing. God didn't need another church. It wasn't about what I was doing. It was about who I was becoming while I was doing it. This is how God uses calling. He says, it's not when I call you there, it's not because I need you to do more stuff for me. It's because right here, there's something I want to work in you because your purpose is not doing. It's about being and becoming. This, I'm trying to help you because you get so caught up with what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and what the next step is. It's not about this. Eden was never about a church. God, again, this is, I'm working this out of your mind that the American church think God really needs your help. He really needs your good sermons. He really needs that small business idea. He gave it to you, but he gave it to you for the sake of not what you would do, but who you would become while you were doing it. This is why you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because God uses calling to reveal purpose. He says, I'm going to call you to do something. Not because I need you to do something, but because I want you to become somebody. God uses calling. And what I've realized is we have made purpose a position. We thought purpose, I thought purpose was being the lead pastor. And this is what messes with you, because you only think you're in purpose if you have a certain title. For so long, we have made purpose about arrival. We've made it about I will be in purpose when I get hired at that job. But the focus of that is what you're doing. And there's a difference. Calling, God uses, I had the designation of lead pastor, but it wasn't my design. It wasn't my purpose. God called me to do that, but that wasn't who I was. And here's the thing. The enemy twist your season to make you think your value is in what you were doing. So this is where the call of God becomes a curse in your perspective, because what happens is you made purpose the position. I was in purpose when I was the lead pastor. So when God tells me to shut my church down and go serve at TC with no pay for 6 months, but purpose was lead pastor, and now I'm a volunteer, am I still in purpose? And what I was in, and we like being in this spot. We feel real in purpose here. I felt real in purpose as the lead pastor at 23. I felt like, yeah, purpose, preach, purpose. Show up and just be here, just up in the offices with the green carpet and the wood dividers. Y'all don't even know what that means, but people who get it, it's hilarious. And this is what happens. You get stuck, and many of us stand here. Or we'll start valuing this season so much that you won't even have faith enough. You won't even, because you connected who you were to having this title, there are hundreds of people who are standing at the first call. It's been 20 years and you're still at box one. Why? Because you thought purpose was your title. You thought you were created to have a certain amount of money in the bank. And if that job doesn't pay you that amount of money, you're not in purpose. But purpose is not a position. Here's the beautiful thing. It's not about what I'm doing for God. It's about who I'm becoming while I'm serving God. In life, it messes your view of yourself up, honestly. When you were born, God saw you so pure. He saw the real you. And life covers that you up. And for so long, you get in the programming, in the pattern of this world, that you cover you up. And now, you're 37, in your dream job, married your high school sweetheart, you have four amazing children and a big house, but you don't know who you are. And what God does is he says, I want to use calling. I want to use my Holy Spirit. I want to use, this is, if you haven't watched our series, The Upgrade, go back and watch it because this will help you. This is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit nudges you into calling. Again, calling is designation and function. It's where you're serving. It's what God asks you to do. And what happens is if you realize purpose isn't a position, but it's about the puzzle piece that God's trying to reveal. Purpose is not complete until you in heaven. But God says, if you'll serve the season, not what you're doing, but who you're becoming, what happens is you walk back and slowly, magic, can it work? Bingo, you get a piece of the puzzle. And as you stay faithful, okay, there are people leaving. And God, I felt like you told me to start this church, but people are talking and saying, we can't do it. And we're not like, but you, I really saw you, Lord. I feel like this is what you're supposed to do. And what happens is it wasn't about me being or doing the thing of church and being the lead pastor. Is I learned how to become faithful in this season. I became faithful serving this call. So I walked and I realized, okay, God, you were trying to produce faithfulness when I was the lead pastor. You were trying to produce the ability to be steadfast when it was hard as the lead pastor. You were trying to show me that I am called and you have put it in me and I can communicate because people said I couldn't do it and I wouldn't do it. And so you were showing me in this season part of my purpose, who I really am. But here's the thing. if you don't answer the next call, the picture's still incomplete. Come here. We get so stuck at places that were one time hard but become comfortable. And this is why your comfort can be the enemy of your calling. Because you get so comfortable. It was so comfortable to be the guy to come up with every idea. And then I go into a season where I'm serving and it's none of my ideas. I'm not the guy. I can't, it's not, this is, but again, it wasn't about what I was doing here. It was who I was becoming. Your purpose is not doing. It is being. Yeah. And the question is, in all of your doing, who are you becoming? Wow. There's a lot of people doing stuff for God. But who they became along the way didn't line up with the reason they signed up in the first place. Yeah. If purpose was about doing, a lot of us would be scot-free. But as you serve the calling, as you answer the next season, when I got here, I got the piece of my purpose of submission. When I served here, I got humility. That at the same time God calls me to stop eating, he asked my wife, who was making six figures traveling Europe, taking and doing photography, he says, shut all of that down. And we're serving every single day, 9 to 5, no pay, and I sign up for Uber. Humility. Because I was the lead pastor, and now I'm about to be picking the people up who are coming to my church. But this is why you have to understand purpose is not a position. This is why I don't have to be insecure, because purpose wasn't my position. This is why I don't have to compare, because purpose isn't my position. This is why, and here, let me help you. To all the number twos out there who are like the second person, or you're the next communicator at your church, first of all, stop trying to build your own kingdom. We see it and it's not blessed. The second thing is, you don't have to be insecure because you have the same designation. Your pastor doesn't have your design. That's why I can stand up here and preach how I'm supposed to preach, because me and Pastor Michael may have pastor designation, but he doesn't have Charles Metcalf design. And I don't have Michael Todd design. You don't have to be a cheap knockoff of somebody else. You can be confident knowing that God called you in your quirks and how you talk and what you do, because your purpose is not your title. Your purpose is who God made you to be. This one's going to mess with you. This one's going to mess with you, because some of y'all just be doing this one. You just be having kids. I know it's going to mess with you. Is it crooked? Y'all looked at me crooked. Ugh. Hallelujah. Okay. When God called us to have kids. Wow. Now, I know, go be fruitful, multiply, absolutely. Yes. I'm just saying, did you pray about it? Did you think about it at all? Like, you ain't got no job. You don't even know if you like this girl, but you're like, yeah, I just want a little me running around. No, brother. When God called me to become a father, again, it was serving the season. It wasn't about what I was doing. Who am I becoming? Many of you, you're doing the parent thing. You're there. You're at the gate. But who are you becoming along the way? Your purpose, again, I'm trying to get this into your head. Your purpose is not about doing. As a father, my son is the sweetest boy in the world. If your voice gets over like a 3 out of 10, he's like. And that has taught me compassion and empathy. Wow. While I answered the call, again, calling and purpose, I answered the call, but it wasn't about what I was doing. Here's the thing, let me help you. It's not about what you can do for your kids. Many of you are doing a lot for your kids, but you won't be with them. They don't need you to do, mom, they don't need you to do stuff for them. Me and Abby had this conversation. She was talking one day, and moms are superheroes. Literally, you are superheroes. We were having this conversation, and she was like, I'm sorry, just the laundry and the dishes. And she's just trying to be an amazing mom, and she is an amazing mom. And she said, I just feel like it's just a lot. I said, babe, Arlo's not going to remember you doing the laundry. He's going to remember his mom being with him. And so many of us are under the anxiety of doing. You want to talk about a pandemic? Let's talk about the pandemic of your potential. The pandemic of everything you could be doing. And now you out here just worried and about, I got to be doing this. I got to be. This is why you answer the Holy Spirit and you get the peace you're supposed to get. To the piece of the puzzle and the piece that surpasses all understanding. This is why when you walk into the Metcalf home, it's filled with peace. Because we're not worried about everything we could be doing. We could be in LA. We could start another company. Abby could be traveling and doing photography. We could be doing a lot. But when you stop being worried about what you could do and you worry about what you're graced to do, you find peace. You find contentment. Can I tell you, the contentment you're looking for is not in that job or in that title or moving there or being in LA or starting that thing or if you had more money or if it went away. If you would just find and answer God's call. And this is you. Oh, because I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't know what God's saying to you. And this is where, once you start following God for a while, you get tempted to write stuff in right here. You did all of these, but then you'd be right here talking about, hey, bro, I text my man Micah, and I'm like, yo, I'm about to start this fashion company, G. We about to crush this. I got whole designs. Whole Instagram. Can I tell you how many Instagram business accounts I have? Probably 6 or 7. I got By Charles. I got 4. I got Charles Creates. I got a couple of them. If you look them all right now, you won't find them. But this is where people start filling in stuff. It's so interesting to me. You know, it's so funny. Between the ages of like 18 and 23, it's so crazy how many people feel called to LA and New York. It's so interesting. I felt the same call. It's kind of wild. Between those ages, God calls everyone on the earth to LA, New York, Paris, Australia, but not the Midwest. It's very strange. All this is, he's the same phone call. He just sends them out to everybody, 18 to 25. Yeah, LA, New York, that's your next stop, baby. Go ahead. You might be called to LA. That's incredible, and I'm a little jealous. Not really, much less LA, more so New York. But this is where you have to, and this is so beautiful, because you invite people when the picture looks like this. Do you know God can speak about your calling through other people? It's crazy how many people get called to stuff in community and they get called to lead stuff in isolation. When you got called to it, you talk to your mentor, you talk to your mama, your daddy, your pastor. Then when God called you to do your own thing, nobody else had heard and it was just you. And like, this is where there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. This is where you say, hey, this is real submission. Hey, PM, I feel like this is something I'm feeling, but what do you say? Do you think I should do that? There have been places to go speak somewhere that it's like, I really want to go speak here. It'd be a dream to speak here. And it would be like, but I go to him and say, but I want to make sure I'm hearing this thing right. I want to make sure this is in alignment with what, like, this is God using, calling to reveal purpose. And every time you obey, you get another piece of the puzzle. Every time you serve your season, you keep getting more of who God sees you to be. Every time you do what he asks you to do. But what happens is this is why walking with Jesus is a constant, dependent relationship. Because without him, without him, the picture is not complete. Purpose. It's something that has plagued humanity for a long time. And I'm about to close and keys and stuff. Y'all can start playing and stuff. And we're going to wrap it up today. But when I was thinking about doing, you know, the potential, everything you could do. And again, so many of you are like, what? But my potential and what I was going to do and how I was going to accomplish this and I was going to be that and do all of these different things. God is not as concerned with your potential as he is your purpose. He's not. He sees it, but he's not as concerned as you are. And let me just say this. Let me just affirm somebody. There's a lot you could do. And some of you feel like you can't do it. You feel like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to. I don't know if I'll ever be able to reach this point. Joe, could you just bring me my Bible, please? You can actually take that back. I just need my Bible. Thank you so much, Joe. And I want to spend the last few moments just affirming some of you that you do have a lot of potential. Because some of you feel like you don't. You feel like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it. I don't know if I'll ever be able to reach it. But you do. You have a lot of potential. Jesus had a lot of potential. You ever thought about that? Jesus' potential. He could have done a lot. But it's interesting to me that he died not reaching his potential. He went into that grave with still a lot of potential in him. But his purpose was complete. I'm just trying to free you from the oppression of all the opportunities and allow you to find that there's peace in just answering the next call. And along the way, you'll string together a couple days of faithfulness, a couple days of hope, a couple days of trusting God. And the beautiful thing is, over time, you start to become someone that you don't even recognize. God did not... This one messed me up. Let me say this. Because we have to bring Jesus. We have to bring Jesus. He is the ultimate example. Did Jesus come to this earth to do miracles? He did miracles. But is that why he came? To do? Jesus. Like, Jesus came to the earth to do. He healed blind eyes. He healed lepers. He stopped the bleeding for the one with the issue of blood. He raised Lazarus back from the dead. He did a lot. But if purpose is being, if the Good Samaritan was the one in purpose because he just had time to be with. You know, the Good Samaritan isn't like just a random story, right? You know, you think, I know many in church, I always thought I was the Good Samaritan. You're not the Good Samaritan. You're the person beat up on the side of the road. You're not, this isn't a story of do just like the Good Samaritan did. No, you're like beat up, busted. And he took time to be with you. Jesus, was his purpose to do miracles? I bring to the witness stand 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him. Speaking of Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin. If Jesus was about doing, it doesn't say God had Jesus come to do miracles. God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is purpose, not doing. It is not about what you can do for God. Please answer his call. Please listen to his voice. Please, if he tells you to pay for that person's lunch, do it. If he tells you to start that business, do it. If he tells you to do it, do it. But your ultimate goal, the goal of humanity, is not to do things for God. He created all of this because he wanted to be with you. You being in purpose, you walking in purpose, is when you wake up and you're with God. That's the garden. They were in purpose, not because they were naming animals, but because when they woke up, they were with God. Your purpose is being with God. You don't have to be so worried. You don't have to be so overwhelmed. You don't have to be so anxious. When you wake up and you say, God, I see you, here you are. You are in purpose. This is the paradox, that God did not need us, but he desires to be with us so bad that he created the stars. He created all the animals, but he stopped and he said, there's only one that I love so much. It's the one that I want to be with. And it is my child. It is my daughter. It is my son. And God did not come to this earth to do anything. He came to be. God just, he wants to be with you. That's all he wants. Why he calls you? Even why he calls you is because that's where he is. So his calling, the end goal, is never doing. It's still, hey, I'm over here. That's why God called you to start that business that it seems like it's not going well. Because you would rather be where he is. That's what I figured out. There's a lot of opportunity to do. But what's the doing if you don't have anybody to share it with? There's a lot of people doing a lot, and you're successful in man's eye. You are traveling, you're making more money, your family looks beautiful. There's a lot of people doing in the church world. There's a lot of people doing in their walk with Christ. You're doing good things. You're reading your word. Please do all of those things. But my question is, in all you're doing, who are you becoming? Your purpose is not doing stuff for God. It's being with him. Humanity, and this is why we will never arrive until there's a moment where we pass from this life to the next. And in that moment, your purpose is fulfilled. There are some of you here today, really two groups of people. And the first group are those that have felt overwhelmed by the opportunities. Your potential has lied to you. It told you that if you were there, you would be happy. It told you that there is the missing piece. Some of you, your potential told you that if you were married, that hole wouldn't be there. Some of people, life has told you that if you had more money, that hole wouldn't be there. Some of you, it was if you had a level of respect, if they just respected you, then no. Because no amount of doing can change who you are. One call, and it's not necessarily in this order, but there's a call that's always the missing piece. This word salvation, it is the essence of the gospel. God is the fundamental truth of any portion of theology. And the story of the gospel, the story of his goodness, is that heaven couldn't keep God's love from you. God loved you so bad that he had to wrap flesh around his love. He had to send his son. He wanted to be with you so bad that he stepped out of the beauty and perfection and glory of heaven and submitted himself to this earth. Because he said, I just want to be with him. And the gospel, church has made it a lot about doing, and I'm sorry. We've made it a lot about doing. We've made it about how many scriptures you know and how long you can pray for and how long you can fast. Those things are all great. But God wants you to do those things just because he wants to be with you. It's not the reason me and Abby go on date night isn't because we want to go do whatever we're doing. It's just a means to be with her. It's just whatever, however I can figure out a way. That's God's voice to humanity. If it's in the car and I can be with you, I'd love to be with you. If it's parenting, I'd love to be there too. If it's starting your company, if you'd invite me, I'd love to be there. If you want me involved in your anxiety, I'd actually love to be there too. If you want me involved in that pressure that you're feeling to perform because of your parents and because of what you feel, if you want me to be in that season where you feel like maybe did I miss purpose? Let me tell you, you didn't miss it if you would just be with me. If you feel like I don't even know if I've been in purpose my whole life, in one decision, you can wake up tomorrow. Say, God, and no. Think about this. Think about the confidence this would produce. You want to stop being anxious? You want to stop worrying? Is this what God wants me to do? Is this what God wants me to do? God, oh, I'm in purpose. There's a new opportunity. God, oh, yeah, just being with you. That's all you wanted. I want to pray for two groups of people. The first group is people who feel like you've been doing a lot, but you don't know if you've been being. You've been doing a lot of good things. Maybe you've been, I don't know what it is, honestly, but whatever it is, today there's an opportunity to not conform to the pattern of doing, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind today is that no matter what your potential has promised, no matter money, no matter influence, no matter what it has said, your purpose is to be with God. My hope is that to find that purpose, you would answer the next call, whatever it is. Wherever you are right now, whether you're watching online or watching this on a rebroadcast on YouTube in another country, maybe 1 a.m. right where you are, would you just close your eyes? Not out of religion, but just out of a moment to focus, just to hear from God. Lord, right now, I thank you that we are in purpose. Just simply because we're talking to you. We were made to commune with you. Lord, I pray right now for the anxious soul. But your word says you bring peace that surpasses all understanding. To guard our hearts, to guard our minds, to guard our soul. Lord, I thank you that your peace is being brushed across this nation. It's being brushed across this world. Lord God, you are bringing a peace to know that wherever you are, Lord, you introduced yourself as Emmanuel. You've been trying to tell us you're Emmanuel, God with us. I thank you that everybody under the sound of my voice, they would know that if they're with you, they are walking in purpose. Every head still bowed, every eye still closed. There are some of you watching right now and you feel like there's a piece missing. You may have gotten the money, you may have gotten the cars, you may be doing your dream, whatever, but you still feel like something is missing. It's Jesus. It's him. He's the one who loves you. He cares about you. It's not about doing. Again, this whole message was, it's not about you doing stuff for him. It's not about stop doing all these bad things and stop being this and stop being that. No, God just says, if you'll just let me be with you, I'll help you with all the other stuff. if you just invite me into the drug addiction, invite me into the insecurities, invite me into the overcompensating, invite me into the broken moment, invite me into the bad decision. It just, if you would just invite me in. Right now, if you're watching, if you're listening, right where you are, I just want to take a moment. And if you want to accept Jesus into your life, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. And I believe in this prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. The paradox of God and things that are talked about are so far beyond his mystery is he gives you two things that I don't know how they work. And honestly, I don't know how to. But he's sovereign and he still wants you to choose him. He knows his plan, but he also says, hey, what do you want? He always met people at their point of expectation. And in this moment, in the beauty of God, you can say, I want to make a decision. I want to make a decision to surrender. I want to make a decision not to do more, not to be more, not to try harder, but I just want to make a decision to surrender. In this moment, when you surrender, I'm believing everything that you've ever done. Lord God will bring purpose to it. He'll bring value. He'll bring identity. He'll bring clarity. He'll bring security. All you got to do is surrender. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear God, thank you for loving me. Dear Jesus, I admit I've made mistakes. Save me, change me, transform me, be with me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Transformation Church, can we celebrate? Oh, come on, people just gave their life to Jesus. Hey, listen, if you just made that choice, we're so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. God is so proud of you. He loves you. And that's the best decision you could ever make. And now you start a journey of walking with God. You start a journey where you're in purpose when you acknowledge him. You start a journey where it's not perfect, but you are progressing. And as a church, we would love to support you. Not to tell you everything you should do, but just to give you some resources to help you be with God. That's our goal, is to help you be with him. And I'm hoping that through this service today, you saw him in a new way. And we want to help you and be there to support you along the way. If you would, just text the number that's on your screen. Text the word SAVE, and our team just wants to connect with you. You get a video from our pastors. And listen, Transformation Nation, we love you so much. This church is not built on an individual. It's not built on cool ideas. It's built on the faithfulness of so many people. You're giving, you're serving, you're sharing on Instagram. I want to challenge you. Don't downplay what God would do through your life. Share the message with somebody. Post how it's impacting you. We love hearing stories about how your life is being changed, and we're just so grateful for you. Hey, my last charge today is just be with God. No matter what's going on, just invite him in. And I'm believing that as we invite God in, we're going to see amazing things happen. Listen, we love you. We are grateful for you. Go out and live a transformed life. We'll see you.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now, go and live a transformed life.